Folks, just before I invite Addy and Ian up to the platform, a few words of scripture for us to think about before we crack on with our interviews. I'm just going to read some verses to you from Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through to 9. They'll come up on the screen. And these are what are known in the New Testament as the household codes. They appear in a number of places. Perhaps the codes that appear in Ephesians 5 and 6 are the most well known. You can read them for yourself. But this is what Paul says in relation to some of the conduct that he envisions that will be going on in people whose households are a household of faith. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Now, to our contemporary ears, a passage like that can seem somewhat outdated, a little bit non-progressive as such, but that would do the text a lot of injustice, because we have in front of us quite a remarkable passage. And the remarkable thing about this passage, both the commands to children and to parents and those to slaves and masters, is that children, little ones, and slaves evidently have, in Paul's eyes, what we modern people might call equal. I've just lost back on. They are afforded what we might call rights. Not that Paul or people in that day and age would have thought of those things through that particular language or terms, but evidently they have certain rights that are to be respected. So when ancient philosophers drew up their codes of conduct for households, which they did from time to time, and we can go back and we can read them, we can find these ancient codes of household conduct, we know that the weight of the command was always the other way round. Slaves and children, well, they were to be obedient, and that was the end of the matter. A little bit like our saying, what's that one? Children should be seen and not heard. Yeah, that's what some of our more contemporary philosophers around household conduct. But Paul insists on what we might call mutual responsibility. Children have a responsibility to treat their parents well, to honor their parents. And Paul pulls this out for us. He says it's the first of the commandments that comes with a little bit of a promise. On one hand, it's a good promise. If you treat your parents well, kids, it's going to go well with you and you'll have long life. The inference being, if you don't, if you don't treat your parents well, you better watch yourself. But it's not just one-way traffic, because Paul insists that it must cut the other way. Parents, and he names fathers in this particular instance, well, they must behave appropriately towards children so they don't become bitter. They don't want to rebel or run away. And he draws out the same point for masters. Now, people have a great deal of problems with this text because it talks about slaves, and we don't want to get into it today. But think in this particular context, think it's more Downton Abbey than 12 Years a Slave, okay? It's the way the world worked. That's not to say that it was okay, but it was the reality, the economic reality. And Paul goes on to say that you two masters, remember, you are to treat your slaves well. They're not your sole they're not just your sole property, actually. They too have a master as you do. And it's the Lord Jesus himself. And you know, in this particular passage, Paul will also talk about the relationship between husbands and wives and how that's to be modeled along Christ-like lines. But I think that what Paul envisions is through Christ-like living and Christ-like leading in the household, some of the responsibility and burden of which would be shouldered by the men, by the dads in the household, that an entire household would come to know the goodness of God revealed in Christ through the way that men went about their duty and their business, their fathering, their leading in their households. And we know this was the case when we read through the book of Acts, for example. We read these remarkable accounts of entire households coming to faith. And that quite often was because the male head of the house had had an encounter with Jesus that changed things for the better. So all of that to say this, these codes of conduct of Christian living in household, that they still extend to us. They still lay claim to those of us who have responsibilities in household. And one of our acts of worship is to live in household together and to lead our households in a way that honors Christ, in a way that models the way Christ actually would lead your household if he were there physically present. But of course he is present in our lives. And we want to hear a little bit from two of our dads today about how Jesus has helped them in their particular responsibilities of parenting in their household. So I'm going to invite Addie and Ian if they would make their way up to the platform. And you give them a little round of applause as they're coming. We've got the microphones on the seats. There are chaps, so we just need to switch it on. There you go, Ian.
Thank you.
And there's yours, Addy. Addy, I'm going to start with you. We turned on.
Switching on. Hello. Morning.
Did you get your breakfast in bed this morning, Addy? Were you spoiled?
No.
I see two guilty ones here in the middle of the... We'll speak to them afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's because breakfast isn't allowed upstairs.
Oh, I see. It's a household rule. Yeah, that sounds like a good... You don't want crumbs in the bed, do you? Well, Addy, the second question for you. How long have you been a dad, and how many kids do you have?
24 years on August the
29th. Wow, 24 years.
And we have four wonderful kids.
Hmm. Do you have a favourite out of the four?
No. Of course not.
You can't say it today. Addy, can you describe the difference being a father has made to your life and to your faith in particular? It's a big change, they say.
Yeah, it is a big change. I think the first one was humility. Realizing that all of a sudden you have responsibility for others, but you don't have control of the whole situation and all the situations that you can see coming, you just get quite humbled.
Okay. It gives you a sense of your own limitations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as a person of faith, as a Christian, did becoming a dad have an impact on your outlook or your experience of faith as a Christian?
Well, yes, in a couple of ways. First of all, a deeper understanding, I think, of the love that God has for us. Being a father brought that home in a much stronger way than previously. And also consequent to that, there's the realization that, well, for the things that you can control, you lean on him to give you his strength and his wisdom and his direction. And for the things that you can't, you hand it over to him because he's in full control.
Hmm. Yeah. It's just that little bit more difficult, isn't it? Trusting God for our kids
yes.
and for ourselves, but something we have to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Ian, over to you for... I'm going to come back to Ali in a moment or two. But the question is, how long have you been a dad?
Yeah,
and how many kids do you have?
So on the 4th of August, I'll have been a dad for 16 years.
Okay, it's a big birthday coming up in Oliver household.
I've got two children, Sam and Isabel. So Sam is just about to be 13. Yeah, I know.
Entering the teenage years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Izzy's 16 on the 4th of August.
Excellent. So, And the same question to you, becoming a dad, how did it change you, change your life, and how did it impact your faith life?
I think a bit the same as Addy said. I think for me, just personally, you read a lot in the Bible about how our relationship with God is as children. And you can read, and I could read that and understand that. But I think for me, having children, particularly when they're a lot younger than they are now, that level of love and what you're prepared to do for your children, I think really was only, for me personally, brought out through that relationship. So now, some of the stuff that we sang this morning, I think that can have a real deep impact on me now, because I've experienced some of that, what we sing about. So yeah, for me, I think personally that was the impact it had on me. I think in terms of the relationship with God and how that pertains to being a father and how that drives that relationship with your children. I think there's everything has its seasons, mm-hmm. And I think, as Addy said, even though we are we're in the position of fatherhood in relationship with our children, I think they are created by God, and we father them, and we have a responsibility to father them. But at the end of the day, they have a primary relationship with God as well, as children of God, as their own individual people, and that's quite, I think, sometimes quite a difficult thing to appreciate as well. So the fact that even though we, our responsibility to try and guide them as best we can, but also seeing them as individuals, and as Addy said, not always being in control, actually very rarely being in control. I think is something that for me personally that tries to drive that relationship.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to get your head around, because on one level you feel almost a deep ownership and responsibility of your kids, but what's the saying? They're only ours on loan. Yeah. They belong to someone else, and you're doing a job almost on behalf of someone else, in the hope that you reflect something of their goodness and you get their approval doing the job he has given to you for a time. Have you sensed in these almost 16 years a sense of Jesus helping you in the day-to-day work of parenting? And if so, how has he helped you?
Yeah, I guess the easy answer to give is yes, he has. I think it's always easy as a parent to sometimes beat yourself up for perhaps some of the things that you fall down on, and which we all do from time to time, perhaps more regularly than I would like. And I think the fact that we can fall back to see a fatherhood modelled out in a relationship that's there, written down is a good thing. I think for me personally, one of the clear things that I guess we've tried to model is, and it's not always easy, is grace. Mm-hmm. We're certainly I am. I'm probably reasonably strict. And that sometimes can be, we there's obviously a need for discipline, and you know, again, we see that demonstrated in the Bible. But I think also as parents, easy for me to say this set up here, but in practice, not always easy to put into practice. But I think, you know, sometimes when you feel, you know, when something's happened, and your, you know, my immediate reaction anyway is to chastise and perhaps provide mm-hmm. direction. Sometimes modelling what we see modelled to us yeah. through God in you know, grace to say, okay, yeah, that is wrong, but you know what? Let's just park it and leave it.
Yeah.
As I say, easy to say, sat up here in the heat of the situation. Sometimes harder, but I think, yeah, for me, I think if I wasn't a Christian, and the way that I am, I think personally that would be much more difficult, and probably would not exist in the yeah. relationship that I have yeah. with my kids.
So that sense of Jesus almost restraining your natural instincts, some of which are good and proper, but bringing grace into a situation. Yeah, excellent. And the same question to you, Addy. How do you sense that in your 24 years of being a dad, how have you sensed and experienced Jesus helping you with your work as a father?
Well, provision, first of all. I remember we, our second children, middle children, are twins. And I remember when I was first informed of that very, very happy situation.
Is that your happy face, Addy?
Yes, and I thought, okay, so there are three of us. We were about to buy a house, but we put in the offer. Offers accepted, and then the news came that well, actually, they're going to be, there's going to be not one more, but two more kids. So I thought, well, first of all, that's going to be way too small for us mm-hmm. to live in as a family of five. So all of that had to go, and we had to start all over again.
Okay.
You know, but somehow it all still worked out in the end. You know, we still found a place that was big enough. At the time, we both worked, and it meant for a while one of us wouldn't be working. But yeah. even so, you know, financially, we there was a change, but it wasn't unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that period was a period of, how can I call it, preparation for the discipline of sometimes having to go without the things that you would very much like for yourself,
mm-hmm.
Which I was quite looking forward to when Shia turned 21, thinking, right, you're an adult now, I don't need to be the cash point anymore. and finding that, well, actually, that isn't necessarily.
It doesn't stop there.
Yes. So, and being able just to lean on, you know, to lean on Christ and to just drop all those burdens, park all those burdens with Him, is you know, I don't know how people who don't have faith cope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those ones. I'm sure all of us can relate to that sense of the worries that we have sometimes, even financially, of just getting through and providing for our families, and yet we're a community of people who can look back and think, how have we got through? But we know that Christ has provided. He has provided strength. He's provided resource. He's provided the internal resource that we need as fathers as well. You've got this room in front of you, Addy. If there was one, and actually there are a couple of guys in our community who will be coming dads in the next couple of weeks and months, if you had one piece of wisdom to share with us around fatherhood, what would it be?
Well, there's a saying that says it takes a whole village to raise a child. It's, you know, it's not an aphorism that comes from myself, and I'm not sure I know culturally where it starts from. But I think church is a substitute village for community. And church is just a fantastic resource and community within which to raise a child, because there is a whole spectrum of people who have had, they've been there, they've done that. There are people who are willing, able, and ready to help out, both, you know, materially, spiritually. Church is just, in a healthy church environment, it's just a wonderful place for kids to grow up and see, learn about the world, learn about dealing with other people, learn about relationships, learn about faith, but learn their values. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, when we all go into the wider world, we need a compass to direct us, and that compass is the values that we have instilled in us. And okay. Church is a great way to get the right ones into our kids. Yeah.
So stay connected.
Stay connected
into the faith community.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Ian?
Yeah, well, Deco, what had he said?
Has he stole your answer?
No, well, yeah, yes, of course. For me, and I can't remember who gave me this piece of advice. It might have been somebody within this community. It was certainly advice from a Christian. But it was, I'll use that word seasons again. Parenthood is all about seasons, and some parts of it are hard and some parts of it are easier. And there is always, there's always an end to that season. So there will be challenges. Don't beat yourself up when you make errors. There's always guidance there, as Addy said, from the community, but also from God as well.
Okay.
And you know, that relationship that you have with God today, when you get children, that gets put under strain sometimes, but utilize that as well. And yeah, don't beat yourself up about the things that you do wrong, because God's equipped us as fathers and as mothers, as well as parents, with all that we need to deal with the children that we have. So he's provisioned that to us. So even though when it gets difficult, he's given them that adequate provision, like he does all the time in every way, in every part of our lives. But for me, that was shared with me, and that's been something that I've used personally a lot, even when it's, you know, when it's tough. Mm-hmm. God's going to provide for us, and God has provided us with what we need to deal with the children we have. Mm-hmm. And also he's given us the children that he wants us to have. Mm. So even when you think, crikey, where's this come from? Where's this person come from that I'm living with? The reason that those children are with us is because God has ordained that we are the right parents to bring those children up. And he knows that we are. And just take that on board and consume that and take support from that.
So trusting in his foreknowledge. Yeah. He didn't get it wrong.
He doesn't get it wrong. It's us that gets it wrong. Yes. But again, don't beat yourself up when you do, because there's forgiveness and there's always someone out there that can help and guide you. Mm. So yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks guys for sharing with us today. Ian, perhaps could you pray for us, and pray particularly for the dads amongst us today, if you would. Thank you.
So Father God, we just thank you for the gift of children. Father, we thank you as fathers and as parents here that you have given us that gift. Father God, we thank you for that, and we just celebrate the fathers that are here today. Father, we just ask that you will give us what it is that we need, because you know when we need it and what we need, so that we can model the best of you in the lives of our children and provide them with the guidance and the support that they need. And Father, that as we model that to our children, that we might also be beacons of how fathers should be within this community as well. So Father, that those around us can see what it means to follow you, and as Addie said, all that that brings, all of the advantages and the benefit and the joy that that brings in following you. So Father, for all the fathers here, we just ask that you'll bless us with your spirit and bless everybody else within the congregation today. And we just ask that in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Addie. Let's give these chaps a round of applause. Thanks, guys.